I'm Professor Steve Keane. I'm a non-orthodox economist, and I'm crowdfunded in two ways. One by Patreon. The website is www.patreon.com/ProfSteveKeane, and the other is Substack, and that's www.substack.com/ProfSteveKeane. I think I may have got the latter one wrong.
Okay, we'll find you one way, by hook or by crook. Steve, mm-hmm. We've had a really shocking, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the memes going around, these images of, Kamikaze. The idea really seems to have been that we've now got a very, very hard line pairing between Prime Minister Liz Truss and Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng, who are determined to do almost the opposite of what is needed, which is enormous tax breaks for the super rich. Now, I mean, just looking at this, trying to take a step back from it, obviously it's caused all sorts of turmoil internationally. There's one way that the British taxpayer can get their hands on money for the super rich, and that is when it comes to income tax. Once they've got that money then very quickly disappears off to offshore tax havens, which then cannot be taxed. And it seems that it's like the one loophole for the British taxpayer to get hold of money from the super rich. They're closing that. So anyway, can you just explain what you think's happened and why?
Well, you did write that it's basically hardcore neoclassical thinking that's behind this. And you have people who simply believe that the government should have really no role in the economy at all, hand it all over to the private sector, let the wealthy create the wealth, and it'll trickle down to the rest of us. And I say, I'm actually a great fan of trickle-down economics, because it actually is pronounced properly as trick-le-down. And it does a very good job of tricking the down, because it argues to the down that if you give the money to those who are up, it'll finally come down their way. And of course, it does nothing of the sort. And one of the easiest ways to understand that is, even though people like Bill Gates and whoever owns the major British companies are incredibly wealthy, have lots of money, but they spend it very slowly because they don't. They spend what they've got so slowly that if they would cut off income completely, it might take them 10 years to run their bank accounts down to zero. Now, you and me and the people poorer than us, they basically, any money they get, they have to spend straight away. So you spend money much more rapidly if you're poor than if you're rich. And if you want to get a big stimulus out of putting money into the economy, you don't give it to the rich, you give it to the poor. They'll spend more quickly. So this is actually wrong in every possible way. And it just seems that we've got the worst possible people running the economy at the most crucial time.
What do you make of the failure of any kind of forecasts to be produced? And they're now saying it's going to be the end of November before the Office for Budget Responsibility publishes its analysis of how this is going to affect the economy. Now, that's quite a long time when we're looking at quite volatile markets out there and all sorts of other things going on, such as the war, sabotage of pipelines, this sort of thing that can also affect those markets.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I don't particularly care about the Office of Budget Responsibility. I think this is the Office of Budget Confusion, because the whole attitude is that the government has to borrow from the private sector when it spends. And when you do the accounting properly, as I do, I've actually built a software package called Minsky to enable this to be done. When you look at the government, it doesn't borrow money, it creates money. And when you have the government trying to run a smaller deficit, it actually is creating less money. Now, of course, what's happening with Truss and her chancellor is they're going to create a large budget deficit, but that money is going to go to the super wealthy who don't spend it. So it's a poor way of doing the right thing. There should be a large government deficit now. It should be providing money to the people at the bottom end of the social scale so that they can pay for their drastically increased energy costs. They're getting some of that, but not a lot. And you should be trying to make the UK economy resilient against climate change, which means large-scale investments in renewable technology and in local energy production, rather than having to import from overseas. None of that is being done.
Yeah, well, this is Kwarteng and Truss's argument. They're saying, well, by making sure that the super rich can retain more of their wealth, that they will invest in these necessary projects that we desperately need.
Well, they'll invest in them overseas if they invest in them at all. And what they're more likely to do right now, and this is actually going to happen out of higher oil and gas prices, is the money's going to the very companies you want to shut down. So there's no way the market has got this right. And this is the absurdity. The market has got an incredibly short-term perspective. Once you get that around your head, you realize that the market thinks in terms of quarterly reports and things like that. It's the last institution that's capable of doing long-term planning. When you want long-term planning, you need government, you need experts getting involved there and saying what we need. And that's not what's being done here. It's all coming down to quarterly reports. They'll pump money into oil, gas and coal, and then the whole thing will become impossible to maintain because of the impact on the global climate, and we'll have the wrong infrastructure at a crucial time.
Well, there's quite an important moral side to this as well here in the UK, because people are being told that the benefits, even though we've got inflation creeping up and up and up now into double figures and up from there, we are saying that, well, benefits are just going to be staying at the same level. So if you can't feed your kids, tough.
Yeah, and this is going to lead to social breakdown. This is the problem. Austerity never worked. And the UK has really suffered from about a dozen years of austerity under the Tories, and to some extent under Labour beforehand. And what austerity does is it means you try not to create cash. That's what's actually happening. The government should be creating money. That money should be being used for education, health, et cetera, and also for new investments in long-lived infrastructure. And by not doing it, you've now got a less capable economy at a time when you simply have to become more self-sufficient with the breakdown of globalization.
Well, you were saying earlier about it's actually reducing the role of government. This is part of the ideology behind this. If the government isn't running things, who is?
Nobody, or rather the coal companies are. And again, you get the short-term perspective of Wall Street. It's all about rising stock market values. It's not about building the latest technology. You can get some inspired entrepreneurs who do have a long-term vision and use their money in that sense. But the vast majority are trying to build a successful share portfolio, and they'll jump under the latest fad rather than looking at what the long-term needs of humanity are.
Now, you know, obviously a lot of this is to do with the enormous great hike in energy prices. I wonder if you could explain two things, really. One, what you think's really behind that, and secondly, what they should have done, because what she's done is she's taken I think the figures are around about $130 billion to give to these energy companies as a form of price subsidy.
Yeah, I mean, we should never have privatized the energy industry. The whole idea that private provision works in long-term, long-lived assets like that is simply wrong. And what they've done is they've built a market based on the concepts of conventional economics. And conventional economics says that the more you produce of anything, the higher the per unit costs are. So they see rising costs coming from what they call diminishing marginal productivity, to use the jargon. But they basically say it gets more expensive if you produce a higher level of output. Now, when you do the empirical research, you find that, in fact, that's absolutely wrong. The higher the volume of output you produce, the lower the per unit costs are. Firms are built, thankfully, by engineers rather than economists. They get more efficient as they approach full capacity utilization. So they've got a wrong model completely. But with that wrong model, what they've said is the highest cost producer sets the prices for everybody else, in a belief that's the highest, what they call marginal cost. So you're getting enormous prices being generated by this artificial market that's been created in energy. And that's then giving a huge revenues to all sorts of companies, some of them being renewable companies, but a lot of them being fossil fuel companies. The last people you want to give money to right now are fossil fuel companies. We should be shutting them down, not financing them. But that's what's happening with this huge boost, both by the higher price and also by the subsidy that Truss is giving directly to the companies.
She's on the BBC yesterday, Steve, talking about the Russians really being responsible for this, the hike in prices due to the Ukraine war. That's really what they've had to react to, and that is the real culprit.
It's part of it, but it's also, it wouldn't be as bad if they didn't have this crazy artificial market system. There's a very good paper by Michael Grubb, GRUBB. He's an academic I work with in sustainability research. And he goes through in great detail why this market is a total farce and why it actually generates the sort of crisis we're in right now. So if we hadn't deregulated the energy market and made this artificial private market, prices would be substantially lower. We really should be nationalizing energy in the same way we're now talking about nationalizing the rail industry, which has been another catastrophe.
Okay, look, let's cut to the chase. If you get a call from Boris Johnson, God forbid, saying, Steve, we need someone in to radically shake up the British economy. Will you be a chancellor for us? I know you probably say no to it, but what advice would you give to sort of shine a light of the way they should be doing things right now?
Well, first, get rid of the artificial market and energy and go back to providing a cost-plus basis, the long average cost, not the so-called marginal cost nonsense. That would halve the level of energy prices right now. Put as much money as possible into, wait for it, nuclear, but also renewables. Try to make England as self-sufficient as possible and make the focus of policy from now on self-sufficiency rather than globalisation, because the days of globalisation are over. They weren't sustainable in the long term anyway. They're certainly not sustainable when we start falling into huge ecological crises. Being able to produce your food locally and your energy locally, the two most important things the government should be trying to do right now.
Okay, fascinating. I know you're coming back to the UK soon. Anywhere people can see you? Are you speaking? Are you doing anything public?
I'm actually going to be hopefully involved in taking on how the finance sector is tried to assess the costs of climate change. This is still being organised for me. And if that happens, I'll be giving plenty of talks about how economists have led us up, not a garden path, it's more like a garbage path, saying that climate change is not a serious issue. And people are now being told that, you know, 4 degrees of warming might reduce their portfolios by 0.5%. That's absolute nonsense. At 4 degrees of warming, your portfolio will be the sticks and stones and rocks you've managed to accumulate in your cave somewhere near the Arctic Circle. I'll be doing that, and there'll be plenty of public talks coming out of that, mainly based in London, I expect.
Well, there is quite a lot of nonsense talk about climate change from all different directions. But one thing is absolutely clear. Without China, this isn't going to get fixed. And the Chinese do see the whole climate agenda as something which is aimed at them, don't they? They're saying, well, look, the West is saying to us, we've got to shut down our industry. Well, we're actually now at the point where we're the most powerful industrial nation on the planet.
Yeah, but at the same time, they're suffering badly from climate change themselves right now. China is still in the middle of the longest drought, not just in recorded human history, but possibly in the history of the human race. There's actually a couple of long-term experts who do extremely long data series on levels of drought and levels of extreme weather and so on, and they're saying there's nothing like this since humanity evolved on the African plains 200,000, 300,000 years ago. So China is getting a very big wake-up call saying something has to be done about global warming. And they've been doing a lot themselves in terms of putting a huge amount of renewable energy infrastructure in and also nuclear, rather than just relying upon fossil fuels. But at the same time, they're one of the world's leading consumers of coal right now. So there are dramatic things happening in the Chinese Communist Party at the moment. Nobody quite knows what they are, but I think they're probably being driven by this serious drought and how it's affecting the capacity of China, not just to have industry, but even to have consumption, because they're now having to shut down factories to leave enough energy for people to run air conditioning units and to have water.
Well, it's good news that you may be doing some public appearances in the UK soon, Steve. But what about people want to follow and support your work online? Just remind us whereabouts.
Well, there's two locations. My main website is Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/ProfSteveKeane. Another site which is less flexible, but in terms of the amount of money people can donate to my work, is the Substack site, and that's profstevekeane.substack.com.
Okay, Professor Steve Keane, thanks very much for joining us again.
Thanks, mate. Okay, keep well. Bye.